Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Grab your manual, grab the Bible, whatever you got it on today. Hold it up. Let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same. 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 As I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get better and stronger. In Jesus' name, amen. One more time. You got a shout in you? Come on, let's give God a shout. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all sound so good. So glad you're here, everybody. Open your Bible with me. Get something for notes, because they've told us if you write something down, you tend to remember it better. So let's go to Mark chapter 10. Our topic is the joy of serving. The joy of serving. You see, Pastor, I didn't come to hear that. You know, I need this and I need that and I need this, I need that. You know what? I'm going to meet your number one need today through this series. Because the number one need we all have is we all have the need to have meaning to our life, a reason for living, a meaning, a purpose. The number one need in humanity is that we need to be needed. We need to know that our life is making a difference. Well, through serving, you can make a difference. Through serving, you can fulfill God's destiny for your life. Through serving, you can fulfill God's purpose and God's purpose for you. Through serving, you find fulfillment through serving. So we looked at it last weekend. This weekend is part two. I encourage you to follow along with me. What we're going to do is give you a biblical foundation for serving. And then we're going to give you some takeaways. Is that okay today? Because you should leave happier and more fulfilled than you came after hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and so does joy. Joy comes by hearing, and faith comes by hearing. So let's look at it. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to go to the screen. Mark chapter 10, in the words of Jesus, verse 43. Now, you say, Pastor, I'm new to Church on the Rock. Why are you talking about the whole month of the joy of serving? And notice that I put joy of serving. I didn't just put serving, I put the joy of serving. Because attitude in my service matters. My attitude behind my action, you know, Monster Inc. and Roz, well, I'm gonna go to church again today. You know, that kind of attitude will get no reward. That kind of attitude, the Bible says, will be wood, hay, and stubble. When I get to heaven, it's all going to burn out. So attitude is paramount. Attitude is just as important as my act of service. So the joy of serving. Now, why would I talk about it? Because our culture is saturated with selfishness. Our world is saturated with selfishness. Now, all of us, including me, we got some selfishness in us. But hopefully, the longer we walk with God, we'll be less selfish and more unselfish. I was waiting for, I got a holy groan back there in the left side. We want to be more what? Unselfish and less selfish, right? The longer we walk with God, I think we're human, we're flesh, we'll always deal with it until Christ comes back or we die by the grave. But I think it's important that we work on being less selfish and more unselfish. The life of a Christian is a life of contrast. Everyone say contrast. Would you say it again? You sound so good. Contrast. The life of a Christian is a life of contrast. We're not to be like the world, act like the world, or respond like the world. We're not to think like the world thinks. We're to be different. We're in this world, but not of this world. We're to come out from among them, am I right? And be ye separate. So based on that, I want to deal with selfishness, because people who are selfish or cynical, they're negative. And here's what I know psychologists tell us. People who always live in the past grow older quicker. People who always want to go back grow older quicker. People who are negative grow older quicker. People who are selfish, self-centered, have no purpose for their life. They could be 35, but they act like they're 65. They grow older quicker. I want to put some pizzazz in your walk today. I want to put some, I want to stir up that gift on the inside of you today. I want to put some fire in your boiler today. I want to bring back that first love that we had today. And so the joy of serving. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, because faith comes by hearing, joy comes by hearing, and serving comes by hearing. It really does. So let's look at it. Jesus said, you're to lead by a different model. We're not to be like the world. You're to lead by a different model. If you want to be the greatest one, then live as one who's called to serve others. Let's break this verse down. Jesus said we're to be a different model. Now, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. For you and I to change today, we need a pattern on the outside and a power on the inside. For you and I to have a transformation, we have to have a pattern, a model, a role model, a coach, a mentor, a spiritual father. We have to have a pattern on the outside, and we have to have a power on the inside in order to change and bring forth transformation in our marriage, in our ministry, our job, our career, our business, our personal life. And Jesus said that you're to lead by a different model. Who is our pattern? Not the world. Who is our pattern? Not the Republicans or the Democrats or the Libertarians. Who is our pattern? Not my neighbor. Who is our pattern? Jesus Christ is our role model, and Jesus Christ is to be our pattern. So we got to have a pattern on the outside to go to the next level. You've got to have an example. You've got to see it in someone else, the change you want to see in your own life. And then you have to have a power on the inside. Everybody say pattern and say power. Well, you're more spiritual than that 9 o'clock group. Can I just tell you right now? You got to have a pattern on the outside, and you got to have a power, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, on the inside. We can't change without a pattern on the outside and a power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. So who is to ignite our servanthood? Looking at Jesus Christ. His words and his example should motivate us, should stir up the gift on the inside of us, should energize us, should put fire in our boiler. It should get us on fire. If we're looking unto Jesus, not the church, not religion, not Christians, not disgruntled Christians, backslidden Christians, carnal Christians, we're to look to Christ. And he should and will motivate us to be like him. And if he served, we're called to serve. But we need a power. We can't do it on our own. I can't do it on my own. And that's on the inside, the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say pattern and power. And then notice he said, if you want to be the greatest one, well, I want to be the greatest pastor I can be for you. After 38 years, starting with 35 people in the library, I still want to grow. I still want to get better. That's part of our culture here. Get better every day. We've got a growth mindset. What am I learning from my failures? What am I learning from my successes? What am I learning from other people? What do I need to change? These are questions that a person with a growth mindset asks. How can I get better? How can I do it better? How can I influence more people? Say this with me. Through serving, I can influence and impact my generation. So God's not against you wanting to be the greatest at what you do. I want to be the greatest pastor teacher in St. Louis for y'all. It's not wrong. It's not anti-Christ or Christian to want to be great at your calling, your career, your business, your enterprise, or being the best version of who you are every day of your life. He didn't scold them for wanting to be great. He just showed them the pathway. The pathway. Notice pattern, power, pathway. Pattern, power, pathway. Pattern, power, pathway to greatness. He said, if you want to be great, then live as one who's what? Called. We've all been called to salvation, for God so loved the world. Now, when you see the word world in the New Testament, there are two Greek words. One refers to people, and one refers to the culture, the culture. For God so loved the world, God does not love our culture. God loves people. So John 3:16, the word world there is a reference to people, not the world system. So he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We see then that God wants the world saved, right? Can I have a witness in the house? God wants the world saved. But guess what? The world's not going to be saved because most people are going to go to hell. Pastor, how could you say that? Because it's the Bible. It's what the Word says. Most people today chose the lake over church. Most people. Most people, they choose social media over the Bible. Most people. Most people are going to die and go to hell out of their own choice. Pastor, how could you say that? Well, I'm just repeating the Bible. The road to hell is wide, and many, many go there. The road to heaven is narrow, and few, few will go to heaven. So what you and I want to do at Church on the Rock for 38 years, and should the Lord tarry 38 more, is we want to get as many out of the many into the few that are going to go to heaven. I don't know if you heard me. We want to get as many as we can out of the many and put them into the few that are going to go to heaven. How is that going to happen? When you and I accept our role, responsibility, and servanthood in the body of Christ. The church, basically, the last 18 months has been canceled, right? We couldn't meet. We couldn't get together. We were basically online. We've been canceled. But thanks be unto God, we're coming back slowly, but we're coming back. So I think right now, not resume our old ways, but reset our ways. And it's time to re-engage, get back in the ministry teams, get back in serving the Lord, get back in our role, responsibility, because that's our calling. Come on, somebody. Say it with me. Servanthood is a calling. So we've all been called to be born again. And those of us who've accepted the clarion call and said, yes, Lord, not my will, but your will, I surrender my life to you. Then there's another calling for us. There's another calling for you all. And what is that calling for y'all? It's the call to service. Once is a call to salvation for the whole world. When we accept that, then we're called to service. You are called as much as I am called. You have a calling on your life as much as I accepted my call in 1975. You have a calling on your life. And when you and I get in that calling, frustration leaves and fulfillment comes. 1975, you know, Kim and I have been married for 2 years. We loved each other, but we couldn't stand each other. Come on, don't look at me so holy now. I mean, we've been married 2 years, 1973, and you know, we were throwing stuff at each other, holes in the wall. You know, we couldn't stand each other, but we loved each other. And we needed a miracle. I had a brand new Corvette, brand new motorcycle, had a great job, great career. I was in leadership. I was in management. We're going to buy acreage outside town. We were building a new house. We were going to church, but miserable. I was miserable. My dad was the deacon. My mom was a Sunday school superintendent, and I was faking it, and I wasn't making it. And I was miserable. Why? I wasn't accepting my calling. I knew God had called me to be in the fivefold ministry, but I said, God, I don't want to be a preacher. They're broke, they're lazy, they're fat, and they eat chicken. I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a Formula One racer. I want to do this. I want to do that. But you know, in 1975, I was desperate. Most people don't change until they're desperate. Most people don't change unless there's a transition going on in their life, either transition, desperate, or major need. Those three things usually get people's attention. Well, God had my attention on that Sunday morning in 1975, and I went to the altar and I said, God, you know what? I'm supposed to be fulfilled, but I'm frustrated. And it was at that moment when I said, not my will, but your will. I surrender all. Something happened on the inside. I was already a Christian, already a believer, raised in the church, dad, deacon, mom, Sunday school superintendent, went to church every week, unfulfilled. Why? I wasn't walking in my calling. I was running from my calling. And we've all been called to serve other people. If you want to be great, the pathway to greatness is servanthood. Next verse, verse 44. Am I helping anybody today? The path, oh, there it is, the word path. Need a You need a person on the outside, a pattern. You need a power on the inside, the Holy Spirit, and you need a path. I'm giving you the path all month to the road to greatness. The path to promotion and prominence comes by having the heart of a bondslave who serves everybody. I think everybody would include black people, white people, brown people, right? Young people, old people, rich people, poor people, tall people, short people. I think there everyone means everyone. So it says here, the path to promotion, say promotion, say prominence. So promotion and prominence, God wants you to be great at what you do. God wants to promote you and me. God wants you to be prominent. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to stand out in your field. He wants you to have a platform that you can use to reach the unreached. But it all starts where? In the heart. Serving starts in the heart. Here's what I found out. If you have to beg people to serve, they won't serve very long. If you have to plead and beg and harass people and hound people to serve on a ministry team or in their community, it doesn't last very long. There's got to be a heart change for there to be a lasting change. So serving and servanthood starts in the heart. So let me give you a takeaway. Where can we start, Pastor? Well, number one, we start with a prayer. The pathway to greatness starts with a prayer. And that prayer is this: God, change me. Not my husband or my wife or my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister or the neighbors or whoever. God, change me. It all starts there. The path to greatness, the path to promotion, the path to prominence, the path to God-given success. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, when it comes on you, it will add no sorrow. Well, when you and I are trying to get success on our own, we lose our family, we lose our kids, our health, we lose our witness. But when we turn it over to God, God says you can serve your way to the top. You can serve your way to greatness. Accept your call to serve right where you're at, in your city, in your community, in your suburb, in your church, right where you're at. Just be faithful, be planted, and let it start in your heart. God, change me. God, use me. God, let me be a vessel and a channel for you to go through to everybody else. Verse 45, let's don't patty cake. Come on, let's give the Lord a thank you for calling us. Now, here's the pattern. For even the Son of Man did not come to Church on the Rock expecting to be served by everybody, but he came to serve everyone. So a real mature Christian isn't looking for service. They're looking, how can I serve other people? Years ago, 1984, I went to Orange County, California. I went to a seminar with Dr. Robert Schuller at the Crystal Cathedral. And I never forget, this is 1984, I never forget that he said this: if you want to be successful, find a need and meet it. Find a need and meet it. Well, I know you business people, you use this: the more people you serve, the more successful you become. It's true, isn't it? Whatever your business is, the more people you serve through your business, the more successful your business and revenue will be. So I never forget, Dr. Schuller said, find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. And then I'll never forget, I heard this one time. I heard this from Zig Ziglar. He said, you enrich yourself by enriching other people. You enrich yourself by enriching other people. And then my board member that we've had for 37 years, he retired this year. He was famous for this saying: what you make happen for other people, God will make happen for you. What you make happen for other people, God will make happen for you. John Mason, you all know John Mason. John is really famous for this quote, that if you'll help enough people in life get what they want, God will make sure you get what you want. I like that, don't you? So even the Son of Man didn't come expecting to be waited on, served by everybody, but he came to serve everyone and to give his life as a ransom price in exchange for the salvation of many. Do you see the word salvation in that scripture? Notice his serving was connected to the salvation of other people. I want to give you a story. You saw Vince, we're highlighting Vince this weekend, his family, and Vince said he's on a serving team. Vince said 22 years ago, they came to Church on the Rock. They came through our bus ministry. What would have happened? I had a bus pastor at that time, I told you. He was from Church on the Move, Willie George Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma. His name, I said it was Joe in the 9 o'clock. I was wrong. His name was David. We had another guy who worked in the bus ministry named Joe. But our best pastor, his name was David. Now, David has since passed. He's in heaven enjoying rewards. Amen. But we brought David. What would have happened if David would never have accepted the call to be the bus pastor at Church on the Rock 20 years ago? What would have happened? Well, what would have happened if he would have said no and we didn't have a bus ministry? Then possibly the salvation of Vince and his family would never have happened. Because way back then, David hadn't accepted his call. His call to drive that bus was connected to the salvation of Vince's family. What would have happened here last weekend? To God be all the glory. But we had 70 hands at the altar call here and online. 70 people made decisions for Christ last weekend. Yeah, let's give God the glory. What would have happened 38 years ago if I would have told God, no, I'm not going to St. Louis. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to go there. What would have happened if I would have said no to the service God had called me to 38 years ago? Possibly there would have never been 70 people last weekend give their hearts to God. You're serving in your role, and you are important. You're needed. You're wanted. That others people, their decision and their salvation could be dependent on your yes or your no. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Next verse. Let's go on, guys. Let's go on to the next. Philippians chapter 2. And look with me here. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 7. And this is our pattern, Jesus Christ. Do nothing with the wrong motive, through strife or selfishness, or prompted by conceit or arrogance. Instead, put the true spirit of humility. Oh my goodness, that's a badge of servanthood, humility. Put humility, let each regard others better, well, this doesn't sound like the world, than you, and superior to yourself, thinking more highly of one another than you do yourself. Notice thinking. So not only do we have to have a heart change, we have to change the way we think if we're going to accept the call of servanthood in the kingdom of God. Not only do we have to change our heart, it comes through a prayer, if you're a note taker, but now we have to change the way we think. That comes through a process. Two words, letter P. It comes through a process. And that process is the renewing of our mind, reading and applying our Bible daily. So I really won't stick it out. I could say yes, but I won't make it unless there's really a heart change. And number two, there's got to be a change of thinking. I have to go from carnal thinking, the world's thinking, the world's view, to the word view. I have to renew my mind in the Word of God to catch the attitude of Christ. And we already said that the attitude is more important than the action. If I want to change my actions, I change my attitudes. I always tell young parents, when your children disobey, you don't want to focus on the action. You want to focus on the attitude behind the action. Because if you can change their thinking, you can change their behaving. And they're behaving bad because they're believing bad, because they're thinking bad, and they're running with bad people. So we see here that there has not only a heart change, there has to be a thinking change. I can't think like the world and expect God to put me on the path to greatness, promotion, and prominence. So let each regard others as better, superior, he says, than one another. Next verse, guys, verse 4. Let each of you esteem, look upon, and be concerned, not just for your own interest, but for the interest of other people. Look for a need and fill it. Look for a hurt and heal it. Verse 5. Let the same attitude, everyone say attitude. So notice that serving is an attitude. It starts with an attitude. Let the same attitude and humble mind be in you. We all heard this many times if you've grown up in the church. We have the mind of Christ. But a lot of us, I grew up in the church, we didn't know what is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is servanthood. It's servanthood. So let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Let him be your what? Let him be your what? What's the scripture say? example. Let him be your example. Got to have a pattern, power, and pathway to servanthood, which will take you to greatness, promotion, and prominence. Verse 6, who although being essentially one with God, Jesus, in the form of God, possessing the full attributes of God, did not think it equality with God was such a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Next verse, verse 7. But Jesus stripped himself in heaven of all privileges so as to assume the guise of a what? A servant. He didn't come to be a king. He came to be a servant. What did he see as his highest calling? To serve God's purpose. What is your highest calling? To serve God's purpose for your life. He took on the form of a servant that he might be like men that was born of a human being. Verse 8, and after he had appeared in human form, he humbled himself 7 steps down, actually, for 7 steps up in this scripture. He abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross, even the death of the cross. So there we see our example, our pattern. We're to have the mind of Christ. Where does servanthood start? It starts in our heart. God changed me. Then it goes on to a process, renewing my mind in the Word of God, getting the thoughts of God that will change my actions and no longer selfish, but now serving. And serving is not weakness. Serving isn't for weaklings. Servant isn't for, you know, weak, mamby-pamby Christians who don't know anything and are mentally distorted. No way. Serving is our pathway to greatness. Serving is modeling our Lord and champion and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next verse, guys, let's go on. John 13. John 13, I'm not going too fast for y'all. Your ice cream's melting outside. I got to hustle. John 13, verse 13 through 17. Now, in John 13, all the way through John 17 is the Last Supper. Y'all remember that picture you see of Jesus and the disciples on the table of the Last Supper? Well, that's John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's what's happening at the Last Supper. Now, this here in John 13, verses 13 to 7, is Jesus' last sermon. It's his last message before he goes to the cross. Now, at the Last Supper, he gives this topic, this sermon, and then he gives his prayer for his disciples and the world, and then he goes to the cross, and then he dies on the cross. It goes to the inner parts of the world, defeats death, hell, and the grave. He's raised on the third day, right? And on his way up in resurrection, he gives the Great Commission. We understand that. But his last words, his last message, it would be like me saying to you, I'm retiring after next month, and next month's series will be my last series of 38 years. I would give it my best. I would say my most important things right there, right then. Y'all get me, everybody? So here Jesus is giving his last topic, and you know what his last sermon was about? Servanthood. No, Pastor, it's about washing people's feet. No, it was much more than that. That was a physical demonstration of what you and I are to do and have the heart of serving one another. I grew up and had some foot washing services in Pentecostal churches, and I didn't enjoy any of them because most everybody seemed like they waited till they got to church that night to wash their feet. Stinky, yuck. All right, so look at John 13, 13. You still with me? You call me the teacher, the master, and the Lord, and you're right in doing this, for that's what I am. Verse 14. If then your Lord and teacher and master, I've washed your feet, you just got done doing it, you ought to, you're under obligation, you owe it to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you this what? Example. You need a pattern, you need a power, you need a pathway to greatness, prominence, and promotion. And what is that? Find your place of service in the kingdom of God. For I have given you this example so that you should do in turn what I have done to you. It's not enough to know it, you gotta do it. It's not enough to hear it, you've got to be a doer of the Word of God. Verse 16, as Isaiah comes out, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, And no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him. Verse 17. If you know these things. Well, Pastor, I've heard about serving in the Lord all my life. Okay. If you know these things, here's why I'm teaching on it. I want you blessed. I want you happy. I want you fulfilled. And I want you serving out God's purpose for your life. And I want the kingdom to grow. And I want to see people born again. If you know these things, everybody say blessed and happy and envied. Boy, that sounds like a good deal to me. The serving is not a menial task. It doesn't matter. The Bible says you give a glass of water in his name and you get a reward in heaven for that. Oh, my goodness. So if you know these things, what? Servanthood. This is his last message. This is his last series. This is his last words. This is his last topic. He said, and if you practice them according and really do them. Next verse, verse 18. And Jesus, verse 23. Jesus answered them and said, the hour, hold on to that, guys. Okay, so back to what we were just talking about. Thank you. Notice that it's not enough to know it and hear it. You got to do it. So it's not enough to sit on the sidelines. I got to get on the field. I got to accept my role. I got to start serving on ministry teams locally in my community, in my neighborhood, in my church, wherever you're at. Because knowing them is not enough. When you begin to practice it, then you move on the pathway to being blessed, to being happy, to being prominent, to being promoted, and highly favored. That's where I'm going next. Okay, guys, now take me there. Next verse, John 12, 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. Next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I don't get it, Pastor. What's he talking about? He's talking about your life and my life. Until we surrender it to God, we'll never really find it. Until we let our life die and give it to God, we'll never really find the true life God created us for. Next verse, verse 25. He that loveth his life will lose it, and he that hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Okay? So if he says here, if I will lose my life for God through serving, I'll find my life for God through serving. All right? Next verse, verse 26. If any man serve me, this is a good one. If any man or woman serve me, let him follow me. So followers are to be servers, not sitters, soakers, sour, sarcastic, negative, critical. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, will my Father what? Oh, I looked up that word honor, and it's favor. It's the word favor. Who does God put his favor on? Servants in the house of the Lord. Who does God put his favor on? Those who've accepted their role of serving, their position. They've embraced their grace for their race. And they've said yes to God. They said, God, change my heart. Help me renew my thinking. And God, help me to serve out your purpose for my life. And in doing that, God says, not only will I promote you, not only will you stand out through prominence, not only will you be blessed and happy, but you will have the favor of God on your family. You'll have the favor of God on your future. You'll have the favor of God on your health. Come on, let's don't panic. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And Jesus answered them, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. Glorified and exalted. We're going to speed right through that. Let me give you three questions. Number one, why we live? Why are we living today? Is it for ourselves, for our own ambition, for our own self-interest? Why we live? We need to answer that question. Why we give? Remember, I told you that we're more like Christ when we're giving than any other time. We're more like Christ when we're serving, and you can't serve without giving. We live to serve and we live to give. And through serving and giving, what? We find our purpose, why we live. Through serving and giving, we find God's purpose for our life. Through giving and serving, we fulfill our future. Next, why we serve. So we have to ask ourselves, why am I living and why am I giving and why am I serving? It's to do what? It's to fulfill. It's to walk in God's best. It's to have God's favor. It's to honor God. Everybody say, honor God. Say it again. It's to honor God. He said, when you serve, he said, you honor the Father and the Father will honor you. Number two, it's to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Oh, I like it. It's to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And then number three, it's to fulfill your very own purpose. Amen, everybody? Y'all get something today? I'm out of time. Can you give God a praise? Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? Nobody leaving, nobody moving. Drive-in church, stay right there. Online church, stay right there. I want to give you a clarion call right now for everybody online. You see, Pastor, through COVID, I kind of got off track. The cops stopped serving. I need to re-engage. I don't want to resume. I want to reset my life. Pastor, I want to get right with God today. Pray for me. I am desperate to know why I'm here, why live, why give, why serve. I want to know that pathway and get on it to God's favor, God's greatness, God's prominence, God's promotion, God's best. I want to know that. I want to get on that. Pastor, I'm going to pray, God, change me today. Pray for me. If that's you right there where you're at, punch the button on your smartphone, your computer. You can't walk forward here physically, but you can do something there, and everybody needs to do something. Here in this room now, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Across the street at VR Church, out in the lobby, you say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart. It's time for me to re-engage, to reset, to re-enter, to get back. Not where I was at, but Pastor, get on that path to greatness and start moving forward. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I want to get right with God. Now's the time. No one's going to come to you, but you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. You need to do something. Raise your hand right where you're at. Would you raise it up high? Thank you. Raise it up high. Wave it at me. You put your hands down. God bless you. Let's all pray this prayer, church. Everybody together. Everybody here and everybody out there. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Can we celebrate with heaven? All of heaven right now.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.